And welcome back to Travel Minded, the podcast. On today's episode, I sit down with Valeria, who is a 21-year-old Ukrainian activist. At the beginning of the full Russian-Ukraine invasion, she lived in a bomb shelter, which was her dad's office, and recorded videos on TikTok about war life. She is now spreading information with videos and photos on social media to help share important stories. For coming on. I am really inspired by your story, really. When I read online about how you wanted to start the TikToks, it was to kind of bring more awareness of what was happening in Ukraine. And am I right in that before the TikTok, you were a freelance photographer?
Yes.
So had you started kind of doing that, and that was kind of where you had the interest in kind of TikTok and social media beforehand?
So even when I was a photographer, I mean, I still a photographer. If someone want their shooting, I can do it. Even before I make videos about my photo work, I post backstages, I post some story tales how I made this photo shoot. And then when war started, I just post video what makes sense in the bomb shelters, and I decided continue posted like what I eat during the war, or how it looks 8th day of the war, just different types of video. And
and I mean, from there it really kind of took off, didn't it? And you kind of got so much attention from people. And I think, was it the things that make sense in the bomb shelter that was the one to the Italian kind of TikTok trend?
A trend. I remember I saw this video maybe more than 1 year ago, and I just saved it.
Yeah.
And then I decided, oh, okay, what to do here? Julie, I will make a video.
Absolutely. And I guess as well, it kind of gave you something to kind of focus on, and something that you could kind of do aside from kind of focusing on kind of what was happening around you.
Yeah, it's true. It helped me a lot because I changed focus. For me, it was important to post video every day. I felt that I have mission what to do every day. So I woke up every day and I knew what to do, even in the war. I mean, situation was so dangerous and strange, but I I had an inspiration in these conditions, because usually we have two types of people. First type, they just wanna, you know, it's so sad, you lost, you don't know what to do. And second type, you want to do something, you want to help, you want to volunteer, you want to make videos, whatever, you want to find yourself somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even we were seeing on kind of social media as well, like women from Ukraine were wanting to get involved with fighting as well. And this was kind of your way of kind of seeing and kind of drawing more attention to that. And kind of since then, you're quite heavily involved in kind of parliament visits, aren't you?
Yeah, it was, you mean European Parliament?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, it was an honor. When I saw email, I was like, what? Okay, I thought that maybe it's fake. Like, okay. Then I replied, and of course I understood that no, it's not fake, and for me it was. And I was there for 2 times. So it's even more better.
Absolutely. So let's kind of go back to, so you grew up in Ukraine and you were born there. And then obviously kind of from the 24th of February to 13th of March, you then lived in the bomb shelter, and that's where a lot of your kind of TikTok videos kind of came out and drew a lot of kind of attention. And then around mid-March, you then escaped. And
again, I guess even I don't remember, it was 14 March, maybe even earlier, to be honest, I don't remember. I moved to Italy because for me, I remember when I sit in underground and when I posted videos, so many people started to follow me, ask me something, text, send money, donations, because I remember how people wanted to ask me for an interview. And in the beginning, for me, it was okay, I will do it. But then I felt that I'm really tired to speak. And I said, okay, let's donate to Ukrainian army. And every time when I give interview, I just send them a link. Please send me screenshots that you donated, and then I can give you an interview. I decided to use it. And then one woman texted me that she wanted to help. If I have a possibility, I can move to New York and live with her. But I mean, for me, New York, I'm from a small country. And I have never been in the United States. I was like, oh my God, it's a pleasure. I mean, I'm so grateful. But for me, it's like, what? And I said to her, maybe I wanted to move in Italy. I just... like an idea, because before I traveled a lot in Italy, one of my favorite country. And then she said, I have some friends, and I asked her. And then I went to live with her friend. She is a stylist. She works in a fashion brand, and I live with her family. So it was a nice time. Italy gave me a lot, because I guess it was a like peak of my popular, I don't know how to say, and many people want to collaborate it with me, and of course I did it. So for me, I met so many nice people there. Then I moved to Germany because my brother live and my wife, his wife and daughter, they live in Germany. I moved to them. Then I found apartment in Berlin for 1 month, and then I decided to go to Ukraine for a couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've now, did I see on your Instagram that you've now got a place in the UK as well, which is so exciting. Congratulations. That's great news. I bet it kind of feels like a next step for you, where you're like, okay, I've now got some security. And you, is it that you have a residency permit for 3 years?
Yeah. Yeah, finally, I have everything. And in the UK, it was everything so fast. I had this visa for a couple of days. So I really, because if I compare Italy or Germany, no, I was waiting for German resident permit for more than 1 month. And in Italy, I didn't even try to do it, because I knew that it will be for a long time.
Absolutely. And I guess as well, like it's nice for you to be able to have somewhere that can feel like home. It's not necessarily, I mean, I guess it depends. Like, what do you think? Do you think you would settle in the UK, or do you think eventually, kind of over time, you'd love to go back to Ukraine?
So I rent apartment for 6 months, and if I will see what will happen in Ukraine, maybe war will end. I don't know. I hope, of course, I come back to Ukraine. But I already paid for 6 months, so I want to stay here, and then we will see.
Absolutely. And you mentioned kind of before the war, you did a lot of traveling. Tell me about that. Did you travel quite a lot with your family, or was it more kind of with friends or on your own?
Different. When I was younger, of course, with family. Then when I was 16, I finally allowed to travel alone without parents. And I did it. My first country was Poland, because my friends studied there and I had a place where to stay. So it was my first country. And then I felt that I want more. I want to see this world. And I always dreamed to travel, even when I was at school. So for me, it was like my dream. And I guess I counted a couple of days ago that I visited 18 or 17 countries.
Yeah, absolutely. And where's on your bucket list of where you'd love to go?
I love Portugal so much. I like Italy so much. I mean, every country so different. Now I visited so many countries in Europe, in European Union, and I wanted to go maybe to another, like to Asia, something like that. But maybe later. Now I just
absolutely. Yeah. Well, you're kind of heavily involved in a lot of kind of activism with trying to work with the European kind of Parliament. Hopefully that gives you an opportunity to visit loads of places.
Yes, it's true.
Absolutely. And what are your kind of plans for the next coming months? What would you love to
Do. I know, obviously, we should mention that you've brought out your book, so people can purchase this. Is this just on Amazon, or can people purchase it in bookstores as well?
So people can buy my book in Germany and Austria. Italia Shop is the name of this bookstore, and online on Amazon. My book's here.
And for those that are listening, it's called Things That Just Make Sense in a Bomb Shelter. And I guess I'm assuming it the idea kind of came from your TikTok videos and the kind of attraction you got from that. Did someone reach out to you and say, this would be a perfect book opportunity?
So where to be honest, I didn't I have never thought about that I'll have a book, and Austrian publisher, he texted me and was like, oh, it's a very strange idea. I said it to him, but then we had a call and he said to me, it will be the best, it's success, let's do it. And when I was in Milan, he came to me in Milan, we met, he was in Austria. So, and then I said, oh, very, I felt that he really, that it's not fake, that maybe he really wants to work. And then I saw so many replies on my book. So many people texted me, mentioned me, and I was like, maybe it's really nice.
Absolutely. Have you
But
done much of
I really like my book because it's not like a typical book, just like a personal diary. And it's easy to read and it's so understandable.
Absolutely. And I think as well, it's just great that you can share those kind of tips and you can share that kind of insight. Whereas like a lot of people, and I think especially like when the war first started, there was such a big thing around the media and how certain things were being portrayed. And obviously that's kind of a big factor as to why you started the videos, because you were wanting to actually show that realistic side of actually, I'm here, this is what's happening, this is what
It's
we're
my
doing to be able to
weapon.
survive.
Yeah, my weapon. It's my weapon. Social
Absolutely.
information.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else can we kind of see? Like, what are your ambitions for the next kind of couple of months? Are you wanting to take more of your activism focus, or maybe there'll be more books? Who knows? No pressure.
To be honest, it's a very interesting question because maybe I wanted to make a project. So I like to talk about news, what is going on in the world, and like I wanted to do it more in professional and creative way, because during this time I tried to leave, find apartment, and try to work post this video because many people ask me, what is your typical day? Like many people can't understand what I'm doing, and they can understand why they don't understand, but I do a lot of things. And so people of my age, especially European people, or people who live there, they have completely different lifestyle. They just study. They just said no, they have exams, they don't care about where to live, what to do. And for me inside, it hurts when people ask me, because I remember I was someone invited me to the party, and one guy asked, he's 21 or 22, like, I know you, but I have a question, what are you doing? Like, what is typical day? Because people, I guess, think if they just use their social media, it means that they do nothing. But it's not, I'm sure you understand me. So, and especially people who live their typical European peaceful life, I was like, I'm so jealous, I want to be the same.
So, dare I ask, what is your typical day? Does it vary?
Yeah, I remember I was off, and I was like, okay, I can explain. So my typical day, for example, 1 week ago, I had have you ever seen to rent apartment for your own money? Where you want to find this money? Okay, let's start. You are not from UK. You're not from the UK. Your parents live in a different country and your parents don't give you money. Okay, let's start. You need to find apartment, and many people don't want to rent you apartment because you are not from UK and you are the age of student, and it doesn't doesn't trust, many people doesn't trust. Then you did it, you found apartment, but it's about unfurnished. Another step, you need to find furniture, you need to bring furniture here, like you need to order one, and you are from another country, you know, like so many things.
Yeah, that is a lot to consider, and I guess that is one of the hardest things that actually, yeah, like it must be very difficult as someone coming from a different country to not have that necessary kind of have that support from parents in the same country. You're not having, I mean, I don't know how easy kind of the systems are over here. Obviously it was easy for you to get the residency permit, but I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin with trying to kind of go through what you're entitled to have.
Because if you want to rent apartment, you need to have official earnings. Mm-hmm. And I don't have an official job. I have money from my book. It's one of my official earnings and some collaboration. And it's also like, it's just what I have. And usually if person want to rent place, he want to give up this apartment to person who have money every month. So, and just why I rent this apartment with my friend, she's also from Ukraine, and we just split the price like 50-50, and we pay in advance for 6 months. And it's one way how we rent this up, because we just show to the woman, to the landlady, that we have money, please give us this apartment. But before, I lived with British family in London, in Chelsea. It's like, oh my god, where I am.
Yeah, that's where incredible. And how long were you with that family for?
For 3 months.
Okay.
They're really incredible, house incredible. And 3 months for me, it was like, you know, it's been like one day. It was so fast. And British people are so helpful, so kind, so tolerant. Sometimes it's even like, oh my god, you're so. I mean, please, what you feel? I don't trust you.
I love that. And do you still keep in touch with them as well?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's lovely talking to you, and I really wish you the best. We'll put a link to your book as well, so people can order those and read your book. And I'm sure people will be following your journey and wishing you all the best with what kind of happens next.
Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review to let us know what you think. You can also find us on Instagram at TravelMindedOfficial.
Crosses Abroad was founded in 2019 and is led by myself, Michael Polak, a trained barrister and expert in international law and assistance. Justice Abroad operates to ensure that people who travel overseas for work or pleasure can be confident that if anything goes wrong, there'll be someone ready to help them. We are seeing an increasing number of cases across the world where people find themselves in trouble and we've been asked to assist. Justice Abroad has a team of top investigators, lawyers around the world, and support staff available to provide unparalleled support. Many people when traveling have an attitude of, it'll never happen to me. And then when something does go wrong, they feel helpless with nowhere to turn. Anyone traveling for any purpose should be aware of the issues that could arise and be prepared to get in touch with us should something go wrong. We currently have cases in Greece, China, Thailand, Somalia, Myanmar, Cyprus, Spain, Vietnam, and many other countries around the globe. The increased number of cases which are coming to us proves how frequently travellers can find themselves in trouble, often as a victim of crime or accused of offences they did not commit. Usually, travel insurance will not cover you for assistance and advice with legal problems overseas, and even where they do, the assistance can prove ineffectual and not practical. At Justice Abroad, we have an extremely hands-on approach that allows our clients to feel assured that we will deal with every aspect of their situation and ensure they have the best possible outcome. We're Justice Abroad, and we're here when you need us.